First John chapter 1, beginning at the first verse. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie, and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. We'll end our reading at that verse. And our Father, we pray that thou will bless the public reading of thy word to us, for Christ's sake. Amen. The principle of evil that works in every one of us, that the Bible calls sin, is the fundamental cause of the wickedness and heartbreak that is widespread in our society. This sin is the root cause of the breakdown of family life, the infidelity of one or the other or both parties, the rebellion of children, and the parental failure to discipline them. It is the principle of sin that leads to the premeditated murder or maiming of another human being by a human being. Sin is the cause of the wars that blight countries, whether they are civil wars, so called, or of an international character. Sin is responsible for the widespread efforts to remove God from his creation altogether. Sin in its nature or its essence is a disobedience by all of us to his revealed will. Sin has its origin in that most perfect of all environments, the Garden of Eden, of which we read in the early part of this earth's history in Genesis chapter 3, where our first parents, Adam and Eve, because they doubted God, they were suspicious of him, having heard the devil's lie, outrightly, deliberately, flagrantly, blatantly disobeyed him and his plain command. The consequences of sin were swift to move into place then, and we're living with them ever from that time. The consequences of sin being comprehensive and awesome when it was said in a later part of the Bible, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. When it also added, the wages of sin is death. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, sin is not a matter to be thought of lightly, but God in his mercy has desired and provided another way in which sin should be dealt with, a way in which the perpetrator of sin might be delivered from the awful and terrible consequences that a sin brings. And it's that way that I want to talk to you about for a while tonight. And it is set out for us in verse 9 of 1 John chapter 1, where we read, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." I want you to notice, first of all, about God's way of dealing with sin, the transformation that is available to us here. And we have that transformation underlined, highlighted in two words. First of all, forgive. And then secondly, the word cleanse. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's take the word forgive. It means the remission of punishment due to sins and the deliverance of the one committing the sins from the penalty and the judgment of God that's due upon us on account of our sin. It means the total removal of the causes of the offense. To be forgiven means there is not now anything that can be laid against us of an incriminating nature. You may remember that the apostle wrote in Romans 8, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus." You might remember also the Lord Jesus said, "He that believeth is not condemned." The word forgive also means to send away. That's one of the meanings of this word. You remember the Lord Jesus Christ, it was said of Him by John the Baptist, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And in Leviticus chapter 16, that great day of atonement, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ was typified by the offerings of that day, two goats were taken, one of them was slain, and its blood was brought into the most holy place and applied to the altar. Another goat was kept alive, and on the head of that goat was transferred the sins of Israel through their high priest. And that goat was taken away by a fit man, so-called, led away into the wilderness. Let me read the verse in Leviticus 16, verse 21. "And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat, and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions and all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness." The sending away of the goat is the very same as sins being taken away or sent away. That's the first thing. What a transformation that brings about when our sins are dealt with in that way. But there is another word. It's the word cleanse. Sin has a defiling character. In the book of Romans chapter 3 verse 10 we read these words, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no not one." And then if you move on down the chapter to verse 23 you will find, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And in between those two verses, verse 10 and verse 23, there are a number of verses that deal with the awful character and depravity of men and women without the Lord Jesus Christ. And we all fit in there, showing to us the defiling character of sin. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, we read of terrible sins. Let me read them to you. Verse 9, first of all, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." And then verse 18, "Flee
fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What am I saying? What am I reading? Simply this, that associated with sin, there is uncleanness and defilement. And ladies and gentlemen, the Bible tells us that all needs to be dealt with, either in us, which means we'll be damned to hell for eternity, or else in the person of a substitute. That's the way that God has dealt with them. And that substitute is none other than the Lord Jesus. And the only way that that sin that we've talked about can be washed away, cleansed away, it's not by water, it's not by good works, it is not by self-effort. The Bible tells us it can only come about by one way, and it's in verse 7 of 1 John chapter 1. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. What can wash away my sin? What can make me whole again? The hymn asks, and then replies, nothing but the blood of Jesus. My dear friend, God's remedy is, God's way of dealing with sin is, to forgive it, to wash it all away through a substitute, through the precious blood that that substitute shed, that substitute being the Lord Jesus Christ, and that blood being precious and purifying and powerful. What a transformation. You see, sin carries an awful burden with it. A man or a woman who has been awakened by the Spirit of God to see how sinful we are, and our sins begin to trouble us. We feel their guilt. We feel their wickedness. A burden settles down then upon us. Whenever Christ, our substitute, does the forgiving and the cleansing work, there's peace made right away. The Bible says, if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the moment that that peace takes place between God and us, because our sins have been forgiven and cleansed, then the peace of God that passeth all understanding comes in to keep our minds and our hearts. What a transformation. Is it not something that you would long for? Well, I want to tell you, it's available to you tonight. The transformation that's available to us. And then notice, secondly, the condition that is announced to us. There's a way to receive this, and there's only one way. Notice verse 9 again of 1 John chapter 1. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's the stipulation. There's the requirement. There is the condition that's announced. If we confess our sins. Now notice carefully what the essence of confession is. It means, first of all, an acknowledgement that we have sinned. A general acknowledgement. An acknowledgement of sin in the world generally. And we say, yes, we're all sinners. I'm clear about that. To cite those verses to you again. There is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And to add to that what the wise man said in the book of Ecclesiastes, there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. But that's not the same as saying, I'm a sinner. Oh, we can generally acknowledge that there's terrible sin in the world and that mankind are sinners, yes. But that's not quite the same as saying, Lord, I'm a sinner. It means an admission on our part that we have sinned. And not only a bald admission, yes, Lord, I'm a sinner, but an admission that our sins have been wicked and an affront to Almighty God. And that we feel the guilt of them and feel the loathsomeness and the foulness of them. And that we tell God about it. We don't tell the priest. We don't tell the minister. We don't make any confession to any particular body. This confession goes to the only priest who can forgive sins, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, whom the Bible describes as the great apostle and high priest of our profession. There's an acknowledgement of sin generally, and there is an admission of sin specifically and particularly on our part. Have you ever done this? Have you ever gone to the Lord and said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I have grieved thee. I have offended thee. I have done wickedly. Once we make this kind of confession, it will reveal a humility of spirit, a reverence for Almighty God, a realization of our wrongdoing, and then it will prepare the road for which the blessings of God's forgiveness and cleansing will travel upon to reach us. There must be confession, an owning up to it, a facing up to it. The word confession here means the same thing, to concur with God and His Word. That's what it means. God, you're right. You've said that I'm vile. I accept that. You said I'm wicked, Lord. I accept that. You say I'm a sinner, Lord. I accept that. I'm all of this and much more. Tell the Lord about it and trust Him to put it away by His precious blood. That's confession. The essence of confession. But think with me for a moment of the examples of confession. We'll not do this, but there are 7 places in the Bible that have these words. I have sinned. Pharaoh said that. Balaam said it. Saul said it. Achan said it. Job said it. Judas said it. Judas Iscariot. The prodigal son said it. The 7 of them said, using those words, I have sinned. What an example to us tonight to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord Jesus, I have sinned. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. David said in Psalm 51, verse 3, after his sin was exposed by Nathan in 2 Samuel 12, he wrote Psalm 51 after that. His heart was broken. These are the words. I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Oh, my dear friend, this is the condition that God announces to us. There's a transformation on offer tonight that will affect our lives and character forever in a most glorious way. But in order for it to be realized, there's got to be a confession. The confession or the transformation that's available. The condition that is announced. Then I want you to notice lastly the declaration that is assuring. You say, how can I be sure that God would take me in? You do not know who you are talking to, preacher. If you knew my life, well, I know my own. We all know how wicked we are. But I don't need to know your life. Neither does anybody else for that matter. God knows, and you know, and God is saying to you tonight, you can be forgiven, you can be cleansed. All you've got to do is to confess your sin to me and receive the Lord Jesus Christ, my Son, as your Savior. You say, how can I be sure He'll take me? Well, look at the words of this verse in this particular text. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Faithful and just. There's the declaration that must bring assurance to us. Let's take the word faithful first of all. What's it mean? It just simply means He'll keep His word. If you're talking about a faithful man or a woman that you know, one of the features is, oh, he's faithful because he keeps His word. He's reliable. He's dependable. This is what it means of the Lord. What is the word that God is faithful about? Well, let me give you just a sample. The Lord Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The Lord's faithful. If you come to Him, weary and worn as a result of your sin, He'll give you rest of mind, rest of conscience. Or, He says elsewhere, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." If you come to Him, He'll not cast you out. He's faithful.
When He says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thine house," He'll do it. He'll save you.
When He says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved," He'll save you if you'll call. He'll cleanse you. He'll forgive you. Why? Because He is faithful.
On one of these stones about here, there's a text of Scripture from Hebrews 10 and verse 23. And this is what it says. "He is faithful that promised."
Solomon said at the dedication of the great temple, "There hath not failed one word of all His good promise."
Whenever Sarah heard she was going to conceive a baby, whenever she was about 89 years of age, we read in Hebrews chapter 11, a couple of thousand years later, about Sarah that we didn't read in the book of Genesis when she got word of this. This is what it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11. "By faith, Sarah received strength to conceive seed when she was past the age of childbearing, for she judged him faithful that promised." He's faithful.
Do you remember in that resurrection morning, whenever they went to the tomb and they looked in, the angel said, "He's not here. He has risen as he said." He said he would rise. He has kept his word. And oh, my dear hearer tonight, sitting in this room with your burden of sin upon you, feeling full of guilt perhaps, let me tell you, there is a faithful Savior tonight who will keep His word. He'll forgive you and cleanse you.
You'll only come to Him. But there's another word here. Not only the word faithful, but the word just. Faithful and just to forgive us our sins. What's that mean? Well, the word just is actually an attribute of God's as well. In fact, it's the name of the Lord Jesus. If you read the early chapters of the book of Acts, you will hear Peter denouncing the Jewish leaders who crucified Christ and said, "Ye desired a murderer to be granted unto you. And let the just one be crucified." Christ is called the just on two or three different places in the early chapters of the book of Acts. Why?
Well, justice is one of His attributes. Just means He's righteous. But particularly, not only because of the general excellence of His character is He just, but on this matter of God forgiving and pardoning and cleansing sin, God has to be true to His promise. If God says, "If you confess your sins and trust my Son to be your Savior, I'll cleanse you and save you." God has got to be just to do that. If He is not just, if He's not faithful, He has ungodded Himself, if I may reverently use the term. The Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ is the truth. If He fails to do as He said, He's not true. He can't be God. He can't be depended upon. But the fact that He is just is an argument and a comforting one in this declaration that you can be saved. I was reading Mr. Spurgeon partly on this. And he said, "The justice of God up to now is like a big club that you can be beaten with. But the moment a sinner confesses that he's a sinner and goes to God and pleads the blood of Christ, justice walks alongside of him and says, 'I used to speak hard of you, But now I know that God is satisfied because of what Christ has done. And whenever you're asking the Lord to forgive you, I'll be asking Him too. Justice becomes the friend of the believing sinner. God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Now, in this matter of cleansing and forgiveness, all you've got to do, in the words of Solomon in the book of Proverbs, whoso confesseth his sins and forsaketh them, findeth mercy. Will you do it tonight? Will you confess your sins to Christ? Will you say, Lord, grant me this wonderful transformation? I have every confidence that you'll do it because you're just and faithful. You've said it in thy word and you can't go back. God loves to hear pleading like that. What a gracious God. What a transformation you can experience. Will you confess? Not to me, not to anybody else, but to Almighty God, and ask Him to forgive you, to cleanse you. The Bible says He will. He has promised it. Just and faithful, the Lord Jesus will keep His word. He'll be your Savior tonight.